To take the word of God and stand with me tonight as we read together. I want to begin reading in Psalm 37, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I want you to know what the Bible says in verse 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And then in Proverbs 16, one verse, verse number 3. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So in Psalm 37, the Bible says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass." Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." I was thinking about titling my message tonight, "We all ought to be committed." But then I figured that didn't sound too good. So I thought I would just title it, "Commit unto the Lord." And that would sound a whole lot better. Now the first one may be more applicable. But the second one is the goal, okay? So let's commit unto the Lord. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and mercy. Thank you for the privilege to be here. I pray that you'll meet with us one more time. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for Jesus. What a Savior. Lord, it's hard to comprehend your love for us. But Lord, as we understand more and more of your love, may we understand more and more the necessity of being committed unto the things of the Lord. Commit our works and our ways to thee. Lord Jesus, would you do something special in our hearts and lives tonight? I thank you for what you've already done this day. And Lord, I'm sure you're going to bless us one more time. You've already met with us. You've already strengthened us. And now, Lord, we look to you to bless the preaching of your word. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. God teaches us in his word, not in just these two places, but all throughout the Bible, that we're to commit our lives to him. Honestly, I believe we could say the lack of commitment is equal to lack of blessings. But when we're committed, we'll have the blessings, and we won't be complaining all the time. You know, when you're committed to doing what God wants you to do, you won't complain near as much, because you'll realize that you're doing what you're supposed to do, and God's always going to do what he's supposed to do. And if things go wrong, not the way that you intended, then that's all part of the plan. And when things go right, you praise the Lord. I hear so many people say things like, you know, "I just want God's blessings in my life." And a lot of people say that with their mouth, but a lot of times what they mean is, "I don't want to do what he wants me to do, but I do want the benefits," right? But I think if we're saved, we've already received more than we ever deserved. But often, after salvation, many of our blessings depend on we don't receive the blessings because they depend on our obedience and our commitment to the things of God. And tonight, we ought to commit these things unto the Lord. We ought to commit, yes, we ought to commit our way to the Lord, and we ought to commit our works to the Lord. And when we do these things, then God will bless, and God will work, and God will move. The Bible says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Simply said, this means to roll over to God our life's journey, our way, our journey, our life. Commit it to God. It means to put on to one that is stronger than we are. Because if it's our way, then I want you to know we will falter and fail. We will stumble and stutter along the way. But when we commit our ways to God, the one that is stronger than us will take care of us. He'll carry us when we're too weak to walk. He will be there with us. And when we get too proud and too haughty, but we've committed our way to him, he will bring us down. because He's able to do this. It's not my way, but it's His way that matters in our life. And we need to commit our way. So we're to roll over to God our life's journey. We're to give this to the Lord. And I wrote a few things down that we ought to commit to the Lord. Number one, we ought to commit our family, the way of our family, to the Lord. I love the book of Joshua. What a beautiful picture of the victorious Christian life we find in the book of Joshua. If you ever read Alan Redpath's book on Joshua, it will encourage you so much. But we see Joshua coming down to the end. In chapter number 24, he's speaking to Israel his last time. Death is upon him. But Joshua's made some commitments. He's committed his way to the Lord. You know, Joshua took over for Moses after Moses had died. And God's seen Israel through so many different things. And we look and we see Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. And he says in verse number 13, the Lord speaking says, I've given you a land for that for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you have planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. That's some good advice, isn't it? Joshua says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He looked and said, some of you want to go back. Some of you want to serve the gods of your fathers, but I'm saying to you today, choose you this day who you're going to serve. But I want to tell you what me and my family's going to do. We are going to serve the Lord. And Joshua and his family served the Lord. And in his dying days, he said, I'm going to continue to this commitment to serve Him. Tonight, we ought to go out serving God. Our last breath ought to be serving the Lord. The last thing we have the strength to do ought to be serving the Lord. And as a family, we ought to be committed. We ought to commit the way of our family to serving the Lord. When you do that, God will bless. God will do great things. Great things. So important. We talk about the way. We talk about life's journey. We understand that family is a big part of our life's journey. The most precious people in the world to me, my family. The most precious. My wife, my children. We try to have a Christian home. We try to have the right kind of music, the right kind of things going on. We try to not allow things to come in that shouldn't be there. And, you know, it's not easy. It's not in the world we're living in. But God's blessed us. And I want to say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that that's your commitment tonight. I hope that in this journey, you and your family are committed to serving the Lord. Not only do we commit our family to serving the Lord, we ought to commit our fellowship to the Lord. Our life's journey has a lot to do with who we run around with and who we identify with and the things that we identify with. The Bible teaches us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Here we understand there's the wrong kind of fellowship. These are the things we ought to avoid, is yoking up with people. That's not what we are, unsaved and saved, and light and darkness, and righteousness and unrighteousness. It's so very important. I made a decision a long time ago about what I was going to be. Long time ago. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not going to heaven tonight because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven tonight because I've been baptized. I'm not going to heaven tonight because my mom and dad are Christians. I'm going to heaven tonight because I'm saved by God's marvelous grace. But then you come to make certain decisions in life. You ask God for wisdom and for guidance, and God has given me wisdom and guidance, and I know the groups that I identify with, and there is, I am an independent Baptist, but thank God I have fellowship with all believers, and I enjoy it. I have fellowship with people that are not even Baptists, believe it or not, and I love them, and they love me. They're saved by the same grace that I'm saved by, the same God, the same Savior, and we're going to the same heaven. There's not a Baptist heaven. I got so sick of that crowd. You had to be Baptist to go to heaven. Now, I believe if you want to be right, you got to be saved. And then you have to follow the Lord in the Bible. I made a decision a long time ago that I was going to be one that stood for the virgin birth, that stood for the inerrancy of the Scriptures, that stood for the old-fashioned fundamentals, that stood for certain things. And while I watched people in churches, and churches even that I was associated with, I watched them go further and further away from some of these fundamentals, it just helped me to see that I needed to stick with it. But through it all, I found that I can have fellowship with people that's not part of what I would say my crowd. Not that I have a crowd, but you know what I mean. I enjoy life. But there are people that I do not fellowship with. Because the Bible says that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I love people that are not saved, but I have to be very careful about running around with people that are not saved. I don't think I'd do it. You may have to work around them. You may have to live next door to them. But your responsibility is to be a witness to those people. And how do we do that? We do that by committing our life's journey to the Lord. Committing our way to God. Because if we're going to make a difference, people are going to have to see in our lives that we're committed to what we believe in. Right? And we need to stick with it. And we need to not just say it with our lips, but we need to live it with our lives. And there is the wrong kind of fellowship. There are things that the Bible says that we are to not be equally yoked together with, unequally yoked together. But I love what the Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, when it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins." That's the right kind of fellowship. The Bible teaches me that I have fellowship with others through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason I can have fellowship with people from all walks of life, if they know the Lord Jesus as Savior. One thing that's been very interesting is meeting people that live around here. I've got to meet a lot of people going up and down the sidewalks. People from all different backgrounds. And boy, when I talk to one of them about, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior?" And they tell me that they do, and they begin to tell me about how they were saved. That changes from that moment on. Every time they come by, they make sure and throw up a hand. They make sure to stop and say something. Many of them holler, "Hey, preacher!" A lot of them go to churches that I wouldn't go to and you wouldn't go to. But they've trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And there's a fellowship that's there. Don't go through life so bogged down with some of these things that you forget that heaven's going to be filled with all kinds of people. Enjoy what you can. Don't compromise your convictions, but enjoy life's journey. I think too many Christians are trying to endure life's journey instead of enjoying life's journey. But tonight you ought to enjoy it. Now look, I'm not compromising. I am. I mean, virgin birth, no doubt about it. I believe the doctrine of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I believe they're co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent, one with the other. I believe in the doctrine of God the Father, the doctrine of God the Son, the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I still stand on the King James Bible. I will to the day that I die. And I wouldn't be a part of a church that didn't. Because I've committed my way to the Lord, and this is what He's convinced me of. I have greater fellowship with people that are of like mind because we have common ground. But that does not mean that I cannot have fellowship with people that do not have that in common, these things. I believe you have to believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I mean, why in the world would you trust a Savior that's me, you know, somebody like me that could sin? My Savior did not sin. He could not sin. But He defeated sin for me. So commit thy way. And when we commit our way, we have to remember it's talking about roll over to God our life's journey. We need to commit our family to the Lord, our fellowship to the Lord. And then thirdly, commit our feelings to the Lord. Don't wear your feelings on your shoulders. And I've done this, and I have to watch it. And by the way, we are saved by faith and not by feelings. If it was saved by feelings, there would be lots of days that I'm not saved. Because I don't always wake up feeling good. You know that song that says, well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. It's a good song, but I can't always say that I wake up every morning feeling fine, you know? And so if I don't feel fine, guess what? I'm still saved. But we have to commit our feelings to the Lord. That's part of it. There will be days that our feelings will be different than others. But there's one thing that we can understand, that by faith we are saved. So it doesn't matter how we feel. If we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the feelings do not take away our faith. And we can enjoy our life. That's committing our way to the Lord. That's understanding these things and realizing, you know, to not walk around with our feelings on our shoulders all the time and letting our feelings get hurt all the time. Now, look, I'll defend when I need to defend, but I don't want to be somebody that is easily offended. Too many Christians get their feelings hurt too easy. But, you know, that won't happen if you're doing what you're doing because it's what God wants you to do. I reckon if you look at the life of these early believers, most of them were pretty well persecuted, weren't they? The Lord Jesus, what'd He do wrong? Yet they nailed Him to a cross. Paul, after he got saved, what'd he do? He just went around doing what God wanted him to do, and it cost him his life. Peter, tradition says he was crucified upside down. You see, just because you're saved and you've committed your way to the Lord doesn't mean that everything's going to go the way that you think it ought to go. So we have to commit our feelings to the Lord. Commit our family, our faith, our feelings, our fellowship. Commit thy way unto the Lord, the Bible says. The scriptures preceding that are beautiful because it says so many wonderful things. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. They'll be cut down like the grass. They'll wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good, And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. So I just figure, we'll take God at his word. And he says, if we'll do these things, God will do his part. Remember a minute ago, I said so many people will say, boy, I want the blessings of God, but we want the blessings without doing our part. We have salvation, it's settled. But all the things that God has for us are dependent upon our obedience to him. I have two kids, two children. I used to get in trouble for saying kids. First church I pastored, there was a lady that was just adamant about this. I'd talk about my kids, you know, or the kids of the church, and she'd say, kids are goats. They're children. Well, I have two kids, you know, and I love them. That's two prettiest goats I've ever seen. Do you know what? It doesn't matter what they do, they belong to me. They're mine. But you want to know when things are a whole lot better in our house is when they're obedient. Right? You say, well, I mean, what makes you the authority? Because God made me their daddy and made Jody their mommy. And so guess what? We're the authority in their life. And there's one authority greater than us in their life, and that is the Lord himself. The Lord's given us responsibility of rearing these children. And so things are so much happier in our house when there's obedience. Isn't that right, Faith? I mean, he's not in here, so we can talk about him. When Joe's not obedient, things are not near as happy in our house, right? Right. But you're always obedient, right? So we don't ever have to worry about that. If you had been upstairs and Joe would have been down here, I'd have had to flip-flop it a little bit, you know. So, but you understand what I'm saying. Well, God, things are so much better when we're obedient children. That family. Fellowship. Fellowship is so much better when we're lining up with the right things. And we have the fellowship that comes because of what the Lord has done in our life. And we have fellowship one with another through the Lord Jesus. When we're in fellowship with him, we can have sweet fellowship with others. And then our feelings. But then I want you to see, secondly, not only we commit our way into the Lord, the Bible says we're to commit our works unto the Lord. Our works unto the Lord. The Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thoughts shall be established. Now this is just talking about our works for the Lord, what we do, the things that we do with our life. And I believe if we're going to commit our work, then number one, our lights are to be shining for the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we commit our works to the Lord, then our light will shine, and it will shine bringing glory to the Father. When we're doing the work that God has us to do, guess what happens? It brings glory to Jesus. It brings glory to our Lord. It does wonderful things in our life. It will point to the Father. But when we're doing the works that will point to us, then I don't believe we've committed our works to the Lord. My dad was telling me about some services he was in this past week. And they know my mom and dad, they like to be in churches where people shout. And I like to be in churches where people shout as long as it's of the Lord. They said there's a whole lot of shouting going on in one of these services, and they said, honestly, it just their spirit didn't bear witness to it. See, not all shouting is good shouting. And you listen to what I'm saying here. You can work it up all you want to, but it ain't no good unless God does it. And they said that this one lady, she said she just shouted, and you couldn't even hear the preacher preaching, and I reckon it really did. It just kind of messed up the whole spirit of the services. You know, a lot of times people do things to draw attention to self. You know, it's like a lot of the singing groups. They get up and they dance around and they do all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, now, are you pointing to self? I mean, you trying to show off who you are? Are you trying to sing for the Lord? No, about, well, you know, you can fluctuate your voice and do things like that, but I don't think you need to be dancing, cutting a rug while you're singing, you know, in order to do that. But to a lot of people, it's a show. I understand that. But I believe in the house of God, there's different things that ought to be taking place, and it ought to be things that point people to the Lord. And when I think about that, I was thinking about our light shining. And the Bible says that we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. They'll see what we're doing. Our works. We've committed our works to the Lord. But when they see our works, it will glorify our Father which is in heaven. And I'll tell you, when I'm preaching and I know that God's doing something in my heart and in my life and He's using me, and all of a sudden I hear somebody shouting and you can tell it's of the Lord, it really does something to you. It makes you want to preach a little bit harder, I'll tell you that much. Somebody saying amen, and they're not drawing attention to self. They're drawing, they're giving glory to the Lord. It does something to somebody. And that's how I believe we ought to let our light be shining. Not only when we're in the service, I believe when we're outside the service. We ought to be doing the good works, not so that people will look and say, look how good they are, but so that we can say, look how good He is. That's what we're to be doing our works for, is to point people to the Lord. Our lights ought to be shining. Our labor in the Lord. Secondly, our labor in the Lord. You know what Paul was writing to the church at Corinth? He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So our labor in the Lord, the things that we do, we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in that labor. What God has called us to do, the work that God has called us to do, we ought to be steadfastly, everlastingly at it. We ought not move from it. We ought to be abounding in it. And somebody said, you're going to be pastoring a church, you go up there. I sure hope I am. I sure hope that I'm going to be pastoring a church, because that's what God's put in my heart. That's the work that God has for my life. But God has to open up that door. Hope that you'll pray that God will allow that. I said I wouldn't say a whole lot about me going that. But it is a burden in my heart. I want to do what God wants me to do, but I want to serve the Lord. I want to be steadfast and unmovable at it. And if that's not what the Lord has for me right now, then God has something else for me to do. But it'll be His work. And as long as I do it to bring glory to Him, then that labor will not be in vain in the Lord. Not in vain. Not in vain. And then I was thinking just life. The works of life. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I guess it just winds down to this. Whatever you're doing, whatever it is, preaching, singing, witnessing, working, whatever it is, washing dishes, washing clothes, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, that encompasses a lot of things. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, what difference does that make? Well, I'll tell you what difference it makes. It'll make washing dishes a little bit better, because you realize that this is what you have to do. It'll make going to work day by day a little bit better. It'll make going to Walmart. I don't know if it will or not. Yes, it will. If we do everything we do to the glory of God, it'll make life better. Because we'll realize that what we're doing is all part of what we have to do with our life. And if we're going to do it, if we'll do it to God's glory, God will bless us for it. So yes, we all need to be committed tonight. Committed in our works and committed in our ways. Rolling over our life's journey to the Lord. The labor that we do for God. Letting our light shine and the labors that we have and just life. We do want the blessings of God, and God has bountiful blessings for all of us. I'll tell you tonight, God has more for us than we could hold. He has more blessings than we can contain. He has them for us. But the way that we get these blessings is commit ourselves to doing with our life whatever God's will is. And when we commit ourselves to these things and we follow through, God will bless us for it. It doesn't matter what storms may blow your way. It doesn't matter what bounty may come your way. If we'll live our life and do all we do to the glory of God, God will surely help us through the storms, and He'll help us to realize that the blessings are a gift from Him, and we ought to give Him the glory. Commit ourselves unto the Lord. Let's make that commitment tonight. Whatever God has for us, we're going to commit ourselves to doing it for Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Chris comes to sing and get ready this hymn of invitation. I'm not going to ask a lot of questions tonight. I'm not going to really ask any questions other than, are you ready to do what you need to do? In just a moment, I hope that you'll respond obediently to the Lord. And just come tonight and say, I'm going to commit my ways and I'm going to commit my works to you. I'm going to commit whatever my will is, Lord. I want it to be my will. I want it to be your will. And I want to be following that. And I want to do what I do for your glory. I want to work for you. I want to roll over my life's journey to you because you're stronger. You're able to bear it. I want my family to be right. I want the right fellowship. I want my feelings, Lord, to be in the proper place. Lord, help us tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, giving this time to thee. May we be obedient. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's quietly stand to our feet. Brother Chris is going to sing a hymn of invitation.